From the KTOO Newsroom, I'm Madeline Baxter with this news update. Governor Mike Dunleavy signed the state budget bill yesterday and vetoed $210 million from specific items. During a news conference on the budget today, Dunleavy called on the legislature to pass additional economic stimulus, saying it's important to infuse cash into the state's economy.
If we don't do that, because we've stopped the economic machine to safeguard our public, we run the risk of really collapsing our economy.
Dunleavy noted state revenue has been declining, leading to the state drawing down savings. And he talked about the immediate economic consequences from the coronavirus. The vetoes include $12.5 million less for the University of Alaska, bringing it to the funding level Dunleavy and University Regents announced last year. He also vetoed all of the state support for municipal school bond debt reimbursement, but he expects to replace the money with federal support. He says the vast majority of the money he vetoed will be replaced with funding under the Federal CARES Act.
It's a direct result of this virus and this shutdown.
The vetoes the administration didn't list as being covered by the CARES Act funding include a reduction to Medicaid, the Alaska Marine Highway System, pre-kindergarten grants, state employee travel, and public broadcasting. The governor also vetoed $1 billion in transfers from the Alaska Permanent Funds Earnings Reserve account to the constitutionally protected principal of the fund. House Speaker Bryce Edgman said in a statement that it was risky for Dunleavy to rely on federal reimbursements when it's not clear what spending the federal government will approve. Dunleavy repeated his position that permanent fund dividends should only be changed with the support of Alaskans. Even with the vetoes, the state projects that its main savings account, the Constitutional Budget Reserve, will be down by only $61 million by June of 2021. That would leave it with roughly one half of 1% of what it was 6 years ago, before oil prices fell. The signing comes at a difficult time for state finances. On Monday, the Department of Revenue forecast that the state would raise $1.3 billion less this year and next than it expected in December. This is primarily due to the drop in global oil prices, but the COVID-19 pandemic is also affecting state revenue. The legislature sent the budget to Dunleavy earlier than usual this year, as it wrapped up its work early due to the coronavirus. It recessed rather than adjourned, leaving the door open to it reconvening by May 20th, the last day of the session under the state constitution. The city and borough of Juneau is setting up a facility for residents who are unable to isolate or quarantine in their own homes. The plan is to turn Centennial Hall into a long-term isolation facility. That means it will house people who have tested positive for COVID-19, but who do not require hospitalization. City Manager Rory Watts spoke about the plan on Juneau Afternoon today.
We certainly don't need it today, but I think the general theory is, prepare for the worst.
The facility will be separated into two areas, one for people who have already tested positive, and the other for those who may have been exposed to the coronavirus. Those individuals will remain quarantined for 14 days to make sure that symptoms don't develop. Mount Jumbo Gym in Douglas will be used as a temporary facility until Centennial Hall is ready to open. Beth Weigel is the spokesperson for the city's Emergency Operations Center, which is coordinating the local COVID-19 response. She wrote in an email that the Jumbo facility has 20 cots set up. The city is working with multiple partners. There's a food task force working on coordinating meals for people in quarantine at home or in the facility. And Kensington Mine has donated a portable shower trailer. According to the state's latest figures, 14 people who are from Juneau have tested positive for COVID-19. According to the city, 7 of those people have recovered. Governor Mike Dunleavy has vetoed nearly all of the additional ferry funding added by the legislature. As Coast Alaska's Jacob Resnick reports, it's unclear whether the Alaska Marine Highway System will receive federal stimulus funds available for rural mass transit.
With a stroke of a pen, the governor erased nearly $13 million of funding approved by lawmakers. Here's the governor explaining his line item vetoes on Tuesday.
You're going to see the Alaska Marine Highway System was the amount of money that the legislature put in, which was considerable. We vetoed it back, but there's still more money in it this year than there was last year going into next year.
He's correct. His cuts leave about $54 million for operations, which is about $8 million more than in the current budget that ends in June. But last year's budget came with another kind of cost. Long service gaps and fewer ships running, which led to the shutdown of all but a single ferry route after the sole mainliner in service broke down. Transportation Commissioner John McKinnon told reporters that once the COVID-19 restrictions are lifted, 5 ships will be back up and running, and he says this budget will improve service.
You know, what we have operating next year will be considerably more than we've seen in the last couple of years.
The governor also nixed nearly $17 million for adding crew quarters to one of the Alaska-class ferries. These newest ships, the Taslina and Hubbard, are only equipped to run as day boats, which restrict which routes they can service. He also vetoed a line that would have required the state to deposit the proceeds from the sale of marine highway assets back into the agency's vessel replacement fund. But he did leave about $4 million to overhaul the ferry Aurora, which was laid up last winter for cost-cutting. DOT confirmed Tuesday it intends to bring the ship back into service. Coastal lawmakers expressed dismay at the cuts. Senator Jesse Keel, a Juneau Democrat, says the vetoes will hurt. Legislators had hoped these funds would be used to shore up and repair the aging fleet.
We are seeing statewide what happens when you shut down movement and what that does to an economy. We saw that last winter when the ferry schedule was built on a single point of failure and it failed. And when this virus lets Alaskans move again, we need a ferry system that moves people and commerce. And this governor is just against that. It is a vision for a collapse of the economy in coastal Alaska.
One of the themes of Dunleavy's veto speech was the opportunity to backfill state funding cuts with federal stimulus money approved by Congress responding to the COVID-19 pandemic. There's almost $29 million available for Alaska transit systems operating outside Anchorage and Fairbanks. Robert Venables, executive director of Southeast Conference, a regional civic and business forum, says it's not clear whether any of that funding will be steered toward ferries.
I do know the delegation announced increased mass transit funding for the state, of which quite a few million dollars could be available for the marine highway system. I think DOT has a lot of discretion on how that is distributed, but there's certainly an opportunity there.
So far, the Dunleavy administration hasn't tipped its hand. In a statement to Coast Alaska, DOT says it's working with the Federal Transit Administration to determine how the funding is to be allocated. Reporting in Juneau, I'm Jacob Resnick.
Over 43,000 Alaskans were classified as self-employed in 2018, according to information from federal income tax filings. Those workers are ineligible for unemployment insurance benefits, which can pay up to $370 per week, because they don't pay the unemployment security tax. For the first time ever, the recently passed CARES Act will provide unemployment insurance for the self-employed or workers in the gig economy. But Alaska Department of Labor officials revealed just how long those workers will have to wait before the program can be properly implemented, 4 to 6 weeks. That's according to Kathy Munoz, the deputy commissioner of the Alaska Department of Labor and Workforce Development.
And the reason for that is we're standing up a brand new system. We're putting into place, you know, the IT upgrades, the changes to the computer system, the income verification methods.
The department will have to train new staff and negotiate implementation with the federal government, which funds the program. Munoz says the guidance from the federal level to states didn't come in until late Sunday. For now, self-employed workers affected by closures will have to wait.
Everybody is working very hard to get this done and to do it so that the rollout is done successfully.
The program will pay up to $600 per week, depending on income, plus $74 for each dependent. A Fairbanks Superior Court judge yesterday dismissed a lawsuit by a former state lawmaker over the special session held last July in Juneau. Former State Representative Al Veazey contended that the special session wasn't valid because it didn't meet in Wasilla, where Governor Mike Dunleavy had called the legislature. State law governing the location of special sessions says that when the governor calls a session, the governor can also choose its location. Veazey sued House Speaker Bryce Edgman, a Dillingham independent, and Senate President Kathy Giesel, an Anchorage Republican. Legislative leaders decided to hold the session in Juneau, citing the opinion of most lawmakers that it was their right to determine the location and venue best equipped to conduct the special session. A minority of lawmakers met in Wasilla. Dunleavy later amended the session proclamation to change the location to Juneau. That's the latest from the KTOO Newsroom. For more local and state news, go to ktoo.org. I'm Madeline Baxter.